It's time once again for What It Is, our weekday mornings music conversation piece here on WNCW. This week, a special series of What It Is. We look forward to our 20th anniversary coming up next year by taking a look back at WNCW's history with former hosts Bill Buczynski, Amy Jones, and longtime panelist Fred Mills. Good morning, you're in tune with What It Is on WNCW, an auspicious day for What It Is as we bring into the fray our first foursome here on Listener Powered Radio. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by former WNCW hosts Amy Jones.
Good morning.
Bill Buczynski.
Hello, Joe.
And our longtime panelist, Fred Mills.
What It Is, Joe.
And we are coming up on the 20th anniversary for WNCW. I believe the first day that NCW was on the air, October 13th, 1989.
That is correct. I remember that day like it was October 13th, 1989.
I'm sorry. Like it was 20 years ago. Okay.
And you're speaking about from direct experience because you played the first song on this radio station.
That's correct, Joe. And if anybody can tell me what that song was, you win. What do they win, Joe? No, I'm sorry.
A used supply of Eskimo pie.
That's right. RC Cola Moon Pie.
Okay, there you go.
Well, we're talking about some of the cornerstones and the evolution of the station, a little bit of history, bit of anecdotal fun stories and such. And Bill, why not start with you back in the first days of NCW while we're talking about that first song and touch on some of your memories of what it was like back then. I was along a couple of years into the station's existence. I started to volunteer and I was here weekly, bi-weekly, something like that. I was around a fair amount, but I mean, nothing like being here every day.
Yeah. It was.
Didn't you live here, Bill?
What's that?
Didn't you used to live here?
Yeah. When I worked here
on the futon,
I lived here. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, just like 10 minutes away. And
okay, not in the lounge.
Right. Although there were a lot of us who slept on the couch.
No, I actually moved back. One of the reasons I came back was to be on WNCW. I was living in California at the time.
That's right. You were at K-Rock.
Yeah. Well, briefly and. KCRW.
You're a transmitter sitter?
Yeah, that's right.
You were up there with the tower. Those were in the days when you would actually have somebody sitting at the transmitter at all times?
Yeah, 24 hours a day. And this was like...
Wait a minute, is that not a real job? They still have me doing that. I'm up there on Mount Mitchell. Son of a...
Yeah, just trying to get you out of their hair.
Oh, they didn't tell you about that, huh?
Wait a minute. Yeah,
they've been initiating you for how long now? No, anyway.
Don't.
No, yes, I had to go. And yeah, K-Rock, that's how I got my start in radio, I guess, in L.A., you could say, was doing the overnight from 10 at night to 6 in the morning. I had to drive up like 12,000 feet, the top of this mountain on a gravel road where the transmitter was. And so every 3 hours you're supposed to take meter readings. And
well, so Bill, how'd you know about this station?
Well, because I was from around here and I was just, I guess, hanging out on the campus one day and Andy Abdow and I got acquainted and he said that there was a radio station coming up on the air. So I talked to Bird Beard and Greg Hills, who were two of the pillars of the beginning days of this station.
That's right. And, Bird, the general manager, and Greg, the program director.
That's right, yeah.
And they went out and actually collected the first version of the library.
Yes.
Went to record stores and bought things and had records and CDs donated. A lot of records back then, of course.
Yeah.
CDs were being used, but there were a lot of records.
Yeah, probably when our station, because like that was the breakthrough period, like 1989, 90, when the CD first started coming out. So I would say that we started out probably with,
Okay, when I came here 10 years ago, Joe, and I saw Marsha Blue playing a record, I mean, I thought, okay, seriously? It was like coming to an antique roadshow.
Oh, that's funny.
I mean, you know people who collect vinyl, quote unquote, and keep the sort of dusty record player, and they're like under their IKEA desk. But this isn't, that wasn't something that I, as a 20-something, did a lot, was play vinyl. I mean, as far as your mainstay of music, and to walk into an actual, like, newer radio, I mean, a modern late 90s radio station. I couldn't believe Marshall was playing a record.
Just be glad it wasn't 8-track tapes he was popping. Yeah.
Well, that's true.
But
it was
anyway.
Cool. I mean, it was really great and a real throwback and obviously very telling about the kind of real, true, authentic music experience you guys, you know, wanted to put across the air here. But yeah, it was a trip for me.
But when we started, I think we may have had 300 CDs, something like that. I'm just guessing, but the majority was vinyl when we started
right.
this radio station.
Ironically, that's what most commercial stations play now, about 300 CDs.
Right.
That's true.
That's it.
That's it. Like, that is their entire library.
Except they don't have the CDs. It's just a file.
The single.
Oh, no, get this. Well, you know, I was working out in L.A. at a commercial station, and I was playing... I had my choice of 15 songs an hour. I could choose among those 15 songs that
Oh, you mean you just choose
the order?
Within the 15?
Right, within the 15.
And that's pretty much the hour. That's about
that was
right.
The, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
wow, thanks.
So, I mean...
yeah. Real smorgasbord.
So you guys really have to appreciate,
yeah.
I mean, greatly what you have, and I hope you do. I think you do.
You know,
it's
if
wonderful.
A listener walked into the station right now and saw the walls of CDs that I saw the first time I came down here, I think they'd be pretty amazed. It's a pretty hefty collection you guys got back
there. And yeah. I was looking at it, and it's a real foundation from the beginning days of the station are still... evident in the library.
I mean, and I was in my mid-20s when I came here, early 20s, maybe 24, 25. And honestly, I feel like I knew a lot about the kind of music that I loved, but I remember writing on the board. Remember when we had the dry erase board on like the Peak of the Week and, you know, the whatever, the new tunes at 2 or 2 o'clock jump are going to be? I wrote in complete earnest, Chuck Corea. As opposed to Chick Corea. Yeah, I mean, it was like
the
a whole
Korea brother,
right? Yeah. Little Chucky.
He never really achieved like
little Chucky.
Yeah.
Well, that's
and
really
what's really
a,
funny.
A great
though,
part of the tradition is that you can come in and learn, just like I did. I'm the same. I have lots of examples of things that I've done like that too. Even
yeah,
up
me too.
To pronouncing Rocky Erickson instead of Rocky Erickson as of a year ago. You know,
sure.
Or how
and
about,
is it Gillian or Gillian Welch?
Right. Yeah.
We're all still saying.
Or how about Steely Dan? Man, wow, what a performer! You know,
totally. Yes.
Yeah, I think I did that. Just to
Steely
show my
Dan,
level of,
he's terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't he fantastic?
But I think it really goes to say I'm happy to make fun of myself on any level in any kind of setting. But really, it's more about the education that I think you're able to get here when you come in and you just look at that wall of, you know, I mean, that Phil Spector moment, that true wall of sound. It's like there's so much music. There's so much. And it's coming to you in this little box in a way you've never played music before, you know, in that little studio, on-air studio. And it's great. And you get a real education as to what things sound like, the history of the music. You know, you're sitting there, you're touching a lot of this music, so you're reading liner notes and, you know, things you haven't done maybe.
It's really an acquired skill before. That's very, very few people actually get this sort of thing. And even fewer nowadays because of the change in technology and people are
in
just
audio vault and
just basically running on automation or just playing files on, you know, like a digital format instead of playing actual physical LPs or CDs and such. So we're a very rare sort of bird, I guess you could say.
Let me ask you though, you guys have gone to a somewhat automated system, so how are you guys still incorporating the old and the new?
Well, it's an automated system that really only runs things like the World Cafe, and if we have an overnight where there isn't an ARC overnight host, for example, then we have that in an hour block, and so it's actually made as in a live, real-time environment, and then it's just put in there at like an old cart, so to speak. Well, talking about these early days at WNCW, Bill, you were there at the beginning, and soon thereafter, we had the first overnight come into the scene. Our station used to cut off at 2 a.m. We had what was called World Alternative, which ran from, what, 11 till 2?
Actually, I think it started out going midnight to 2.
Midnight to 2,
yeah,
and so I would do
I
that.
Correctly.
That's what I first came in and, and did that, and shut off the station and go home. Uh-huh. And then pretty soon after, there was a group from Charlotte in around 93 that formed called the Alternative Radio Coalition. They were a group of people from Charlotte that actually wanted their own station and saw an opportunity to put programming here and bring us on a 24-hour schedule. And then conversely, NCW says, great, we can get more grant money from the government. Basically, we can get better funded for being a 24-hour station. Come on. And they brought in ARC Overnight. I was there at the very inception for a meeting I remember we went to the old 1313 Club in Charlotte and had one of the meetings. Fred, you were on hand for those. I left town shortly thereafter and then came back after ARC had been on the air for a couple of years.
Yeah, that was an interesting time, and it was probably an example of everybody being at the right time at the right place, because I was working with the group. I was at Creative Loafing, a newspaper in Charlotte, and I was working with a couple of DJs, a couple of club owners, a couple of fellow writers. And the Charlotte radio scenario was poor, to say the least. There was no college radio, and we wanted to figure out how do we bring some quality programming, some alternative programming into the Charlotte area. And we looked around and talked about starting our own radio station, for example, which probably would have been a disaster. But then the light bulb went on over our head. Spindale has got the best station in the area already, so let's approach them. And, you know, not long after that, I moved out to Tucson myself, so I wasn't around for more than probably, say, the first 6 months of planning and everything. But
what year was that?
I left Charlotte in 92, and,
okay.
And the ARC was still, you know, trying to get some things going, and so I get back to Asheville in 2002, and lo and behold, ARC Overnight is there, and I'm listening to it, and I say, wow, this is something that I had a hand in starting, and that's how I met you, Joe.
That's right.
In 94, in fact, I brought the poster in the other day. I was on the cover of Creative Loafing in Charlotte.
Right.
Yeah, so it was 1994, so apparently ARC was doing something, you know, quite possibly.
Right.
Somebody was doing something
Creative Loafing
publicity.
Was behind, you know, was helping us too. They were anything we wanted in terms of publicizing our activities, you know, Creative Loafing was 100% behind it, because they had a stake in seeing quality radio come into the Charlotte area as well. And what time, when did the translators get established?
They started being established there in the mid-90s, weren't they?
Yeah, something like that.
There used to be Boone, Banner Elk, Knoxville, Charlotte, and Greenville.
Yeah.
And so the ones that remain are Greenville. Charlotte's going to be back online soon, and Boone. And I think we let go of the ones in Knoxville and Banner Elk. Those are other long stories. But we may wind up putting another one in Knoxville. Knoxville may be soon to receive a translator from us again. Tune in tomorrow for another edition of What It Is as we continue our look back over WNCW history and have a few entertaining stories. Email us whatitis@wncw.org, and we'll look forward to reading your comments come Friday.